let's jump into the Word tonight. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James, the first chapter, chapter 1 of the book of James. We're just going to read the scripture, and then we're going to move forward from there into tonight. We started a series last Wednesday, and we titled the series, I Can't Wait. Patience is what we're talking about. We're looking at this, and we're going to take the next couple weeks and just talk about some things. But let me read to you James chapter 1, verse number 2 is where we will start. James 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man who is unstable in all of his ways. And we're going to take this setting, that's the setting that we began in last week, and we're going to take that and we're going to continue down this road talking about patience. Take your Bibles now and turn, if you would, we'll go there in just a moment, but to give you a heads up, if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 is where we are going to be looking tonight, and we will begin reading here in just a moment at verse number 1. I'm not going to go into a lot of recap, but I'll catch you up just for a few minutes. We were talking about patience, letting patience have its perfect work. And if you need to catch up on last week, if you have the means, you can go online to riverlifechurch.com. You can go to the media page. On the media page, there's a square that says The Walk. You click on that, it'll take you right to the audio of Wednesday nights. And you can listen to the audio version of Wednesday nights, and you can listen to last week and catch up. I felt like there were some things there that we could really use. We talked about patience, letting patience have its perfect work. And we talked about that there is an assignment with patience, that when we are in the midst of a moment of being patient, there is an assignment. There are things that we can accomplish while we are in this waiting process and while we are allowing patience to have its perfect work in us. And we talked about four things that are patience assignments, so that when you find yourself in times of learning patience and letting patience have its perfect work, there are four things that you need to be involved in. I'll recap those four real quickly for you. The first one is very obvious. The first one is we are to wait. There are times that we must wait. When we find ourselves needing patience to have its perfect work in us, we are to wait on God. We are not to get ahead of God. We are to wait upon the Lord. The second one was we are to watch. So your assignment, while letting patience have its perfect work, it doesn't mean you do nothing. It doesn't mean you check out. It means you involve yourself in the four things that we talked about. You wait on God. You watch to see what God is doing in your life and around you. You watch to see the small things that God is doing, the lessons that you are being taught in the moments while patience is having a perfect work in you and producing in you. So you wait and you watch and you worship. You worship. You lift up your voice to God. You lift up your heart to God and you worship while patience is having its perfect work in your life. And the fourth thing is you work. Whatever your hands find to do, you do. Whatever is in front of you. We can't get so caught up in waiting on something new and expecting something new that we do not do what needs to be accomplished now. Many people do that. They get so caught up and they say, well, I'm just being patient. And by that they mean I'm not doing anything. I'm expecting God to just do this new thing. And that's not what we are supposed to do. There is an assignment that comes with patience. And that assignment involves waiting and watching and worshiping and working where we are, doing what we can. We talked about Moses and his life and how he had to learn to let patience have its perfect work in him. We also talked about, and this is where we're going to jump off tonight and the next couple of weeks. We talked about if patience has a perfect work to do, if patience is going to produce something, if learning to be patient in trials and in difficulties and in everything we go through is going to produce something, then the opposite of that is true as well, and that is impatience will also produce something. And impatience will produce an imperfect work. Impatience will produce chaos. Impatience will produce strife and struggle. Impatience will put you in charge and you will mess up what God is trying to do in your life. And so we talked about impatience a little, and this is the statement that I want to recap for you, and then we're going to move forward. Here's what impatience is. I defined it last week this way, just my definition. Impatience is dissatisfaction with the current situation and apprehension about the future. So impatience means you are dissatisfied with the current situation and you are apprehensive about what the future is going to hold. So therefore, you become impatient. You're not satisfied where you are. You are dissatisfied here, but you're apprehensive about what God is going to do in the future, and so you can't wait. You can't allow patience to have its perfect work. You become impatient. Okay? And so out of that, we talked about our assignment and what we're going to deal with tonight. For the first thing you must deal with is you must deal with the dissatisfaction. When you find yourself in times of patience working in your life, you are dissatisfied with the current situation, but you are in a waiting place where God is working in your life and you're having to allow patience to have its perfect work. When you find yourself there, you need to take that opportunity to deal with your dissatisfaction. Patience will always give you the opportunity to deal with your current dissatisfaction. Now, when you find yourself dealing with current dissatisfaction, you have to learn how to deal with you. Okay? When you see you are so dissatisfied with everything around you currently, take that opportunity while patience is working in your life and deal with yourself. Ask yourself, why am I so dissatisfied? What has brought me to this place? What am I seeing that is causing me to be so dissatisfied? Lord, deal with me. It's here you're going to learn some contentment, and it's here you're going to learn more and more about covenant. Because dissatisfaction with your current situation will reveal to you failures, weaknesses, and fears. If you will take the time in a dissatisfied place while waiting on God to show you the next move to make, God will take that opportunity and will reveal to you what has brought you to this place, and God will begin to work on you about your failures, your weakness, and your fears. See, patience will have a perfect work if you will let it. By perfect, it means complete, whole, finished work. Patience will do a work in your life, because while you're waiting, you're not checked out. You're not doing nothing. While you're in the place of patience, and patience is working on your behalf and working in your life and working around you, and God is just saying, you're in a holding pattern, but wait and watch and worship and work on yourself here. Let me deal with your dissatisfaction. Let me deal with your failures. Let me deal with your weakness. Let me deal with your fears. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk a little bit of how to deal with ourselves while waiting on God for a new assignment. Okay, how, and what I'm going to share with you tonight, I'm going to title what we are talking about tonight, I'm Dissatisfied. So the subtitle is, Work on You. When you are dissatisfied, work on you. Next week, we're going to talk about apprehension. And when you find yourself apprehensive about the future, you got to work on your relationship with God. you and God. But when you are dissatisfied, you need to work on you. You need to let God work on you. You need to find out what it is that's brought this about. Okay? Dissatisfaction must be dealt with for patience to have its perfect work. Amen. How many understand that? If you don't deal with it, you're dissatisfied, then you're going to cut the work short, and patience will not have the opportunity to finish the work that it's beginning in you. Okay? So you got to begin to work on you. So let's go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1. I don't know if this will be new to you or not. What I'm going to share with you is new to me. God just dropped some things in my heart that were new concepts to me in ways. Not completely new, but some new concepts. And so I'm hoping that maybe you will be able to grab a hold of this as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. As in fact you are living, now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. That you should avoid sexual immorality. I'm reading out of the NIV, by the way. I forgot to tell you that. That's why you're not able to follow everything along. We'll go back to the New King James in just a moment. It is God's will, verse 3, that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn, the New King James will say, to possess his own body. But the NIV says that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. We're going to talk out of 1 Thessalonians here, chapter 4. We're going to talk about dealing with you. We're going to talk about dealing with us. How can we possess our own body, our own life, and in sanctification? And what does that mean? And in what ways can we work on ourselves when we find ourselves dissatisfied? How can we let God teach us how to live when we are dissatisfied? You possess your vessel. Patience is having a perfect work in you. And so part of that is, it's giving you the opportunity to look at your own life and line it up with God's word and God's way of living. That's what Paul is saying to them. Paul said to them, we've told you the way you need to be living, and we're exhorting you now to live that way more and more. Keep on striving. Don't give in to anything. Keep going. Now, so what we're going to talk about tonight is going to be found in these verses. As we talk about I'm dissatisfied, and we talk about the context of then let's work on us. If you're going to work on your own life when you find yourself dissatisfied with what's going on around you and the life you're now living, then the word that I'm going to share with you tonight, the one word that you need to hear more than any other tonight, is this: it's going to take commitment. If you're going to determine that while being in a place of dissatisfaction, I'm dissatisfied with life, I'm dissatisfied with who I am, I'm dissatisfied with my situation, my circumstances, I'm having to wait on God, I'm having to learn patience, I'm having to let patience have its perfect work, and so what do I need to be doing now, Lord, in the meantime, when I'm waiting and I'm watching and I'm worshiping and I'm working, you must be committed. Commitment is going to teach you how to live the life God has called you to live. Without commitment, you will never live the way God desires you to live. And you will constantly live in a place of dissatisfaction. Okay, so, and now, like I said, I don't know if we're going to be long or short tonight, but I've got four things that I'm going to talk to you about. Four things that I saw in here as the Lord brought them out to me. The first one, and they are four areas of commitment that we are called to examine ourselves and say, am I committed to these four areas? Because if you are, and you're committed to these four areas, you will learn to overcome dissatisfaction. You will find your satisfaction in the Lord. You will find your contentment in the Lord. The first one is this. In verse 1 there, in 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, finally, brothers, he's talking to the church at Thessalonica, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. And in fact, you are living. You accepted Christ. You're living. But now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. I want you to abound more and more, okay, in the life that you have. So in order to do that, the first thing you must do is you must be committed. You must have commitment to covenant. And if you're taking notes, you need to write that down. Because this is going to help you when you are dissatisfied with yourself, with your life, with your surrounding, with your situations, and you don't see a change in sight, you don't know the next step to take. God's giving you the opportunity while patience is working on you and having its perfect work for you. God's giving you the opportunity to deal with you in your dissatisfaction. And it's going to take commitment on your part. And the first thing you must be committed to, there must be commitment to covenant. Commitment to covenant. Paul said, we told you how to live. Now, how did Paul tell people to live? To know Christ. For me, to live is Christ. Paul would say in the letters to the church at Corinth, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. You have new life. Paul would talk about it to the church at Ephesus, that you have new life in Christ. Paul, when he talks about living, he's talking about living in covenant with Christ, allowing the covenant of grace, the covenant of Christ, to live within you and to be committed to that. Amen. We got far too many Christians that are dissatisfied with who they are, with their life, with their situations, and they grumble and they complain, and everything's negative and everything's bad, and they don't live like they want to live. And one problem is they are not committed to covenant. They don't understand this covenant. Committed to covenant means committed to salvation and to grace. I want to tell you, in order to overcome dissatisfaction in your life, you're going to have to be committed to this thing called being saved and to the grace of God. It can't just be a whimsical decision. You can't just walk down because you're having a bad day and say, Jesus, I give you my life, and hoping to escape a bad day. If you're not committed to that, then when the bad day doesn't end, you'll walk away from the covenant you claim. Come on now. See, you gotta be committed to this thing called covenant. See, we don't talk about commitment much anymore, but one thing that happens in our world when we are dissatisfied, we're not committed to covenant. Not in our homes, not on our jobs, not in our churches, not in any aspect of life. We are not committed to covenant. We don't take it seriously. We live in a world, if I'm dissatisfied, then my life is about pleasing me. And so if I'm dissatisfied with my current situation, I'll just go get a new situation. And we do it in the church. Well, I'm just going to start a new season with God. And most of the time we decide that because we're dissatisfied with where we are currently and we're not committed to covenant. And so we're ready to just discard everything and go do something else. And there's a problem with that. And that is, if you do that with your life, you'll always be dissatisfied. You will never find the contentment. Salvation, Christ, grace, brings you contentment. Amen? We need to be committed to covenant. We need it in our homes. We need it in our marriages, families, churches. And we need it with Christ. You have to be committed. He does the work. It's His work, His salvation. But you have to be committed to staying in relationship with Him. Hello. This is just number one, and this is the short one, because this should be the easiest one. Paul deals with this pretty matter-of-factly. He said, you know how to live. You're already living, but I'm telling you, you better live more and more and more. Right? Because when you're dissatisfied with life, you got to learn to live more and more in the covenant. You got to lean more and more upon. Have any of you ever discovered that there are times in life you just have to lean on the covenant of salvation? On the covenant of Christ, on grace. You just got to lean on that because there ain't much else to lean on. Have you ever been there? When you're dissatisfied with everything and you just got to say, you know what? I don't understand this. I don't understand the moment I'm in. I don't understand the surrounding I'm in. I don't understand the people that I'm around. I don't understand what's going on. But Lord, I'm leaning on that covenant with you. That covenant of grace, that new covenant. You could go look at Romans 5. You can write these down and read them. You could read Romans 5. You can read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. By grace through faith you're saved. You could go read those things. Galatians 4, verses 21 to 31. You can go read about the two covenants, the covenant of law and the covenant of grace. We're not children of the bond servant. We're the children of the free woman. We're the free in Christ. But you got to be committed to that. What do I mean by being committed to the covenant? There needs to never be an option to opt out. Amen. I'm not saying this to make anybody feel bad that's in this place tonight, because maybe you're. Life has been wrecked by a divorce or different things or family or whatever the case. And I'm not saying that I'm not bringing this up to bring any harm or heart hurt or anything of the past, because all that's under the blood of Jesus, okay? But here's what I'm here to say tonight about this thing called covenant. You need to be committed to it. When I talk with young married people, I will tell them, when we're talking about getting married, I will tell them, let me tell you, when you go into this relationship, the word divorce never needs to be brought up. Because here's what I tell them. If you never bring it up, it never becomes reality. Amen? If you don't ever go there, you don't ever talk about that, you don't have to worry about doing it. I mean, that's pretty... Right? Now, let me back up a little bit. But that means that both parties are going to work towards keeping that covenant what it needs to be. Okay? So, what I said that to say this. When it comes to our covenant with Christ, when you give your life to Christ, you don't give your life in such a way that taking it back is ever an option. I got to tell you. When I gave my life to Jesus and I understood what His grace was, and I understood that it wasn't my works and it wasn't how good I was, it was because He loved me, and I understood that. I you know my story. I've told you many times. I got saved every week going to church, twice on Sundays and once on Wednesdays growing up as a kid going to church. Because back then, you had salvation calls every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, right? And hell was hot every service for me, and I went down and got saved every service. But there came a time in my life that I understood this thing called grace. And that's not a negative on any of the other. I think they, you know, he said some, you know, you have compassion on others, you pull their hide out of the fire. I must have been one that needed to be pulled out of the fire every week. I don't know, but that when I understood about this thing called grace, and I had understood about this thing called relationship and this thing called covenant, and I understood it wasn't how good I could be. It was because Christ paid the price for this covenant. He chose me. I didn't deserve it, but He chose me. And if I will just accept Him, I'm a new creature and I'm now in Him. That became in my life. There is nothing that I can imagine that could ever cause me to walk away from that. The Bible even says, Romans chapter 8, who or what's going to separate you from the love of God? And so when I understand that, I can be committed to Christ with everything that I have. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, you need to be committed to this covenant. Living it out. Making sure it's priority in your life. Making sure that there is no opportunity of ever even considering walking back on it. People have the debate, well, can you backslide? I believe you can. I believe biblically you can. But you can have the arguments. People can argue, can you backslide? I do know this for certain. If I never determine to attempt it, I don't ever have to worry about it. Amen. I mean, you can argue all you want. That's fine. We could debate it and argue it and all that. But I just know this. If I determine that I'm going to stay in covenant with Him, and that means if I fail, I've got an advocate with the Father, and I'm going to turn back to Him, and I'm going to remember that it's not by works I was saved, and it's not by works that I'm kept saved, but it's by covenant and love and grace, and I'm going to continue to go unto Him, then I don't have to worry about it. It becomes a moot point to me. Commitment to covenant. Be committed to your covenant. Number two. And here it's going to get real now. You ready for it to get real? I'm using the NIV for a reason. Verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. You got to be committed to covenant. And if you're going to work on your dissatisfaction and you're going to let patience have its perfect work, you need to be committed to cleansing. Here's something. I was thinking about that word, sanctification. Big word. Big theological word. Big debated word. I was raised in the Assemblies of God. Our testimonies were a little bit different than those that were raised up in the old-time Church of God. In the Assemblies of God, the old-timers would testify being saved by the blood of Jesus and being filled with the Holy Ghost. But in the old-time Church of God, they would testify, they thank the Lord that they were saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay? And so that word sanctification, what is that word? What does that mean? And as I was studying that out, because it's vital, it's in the Word. Jesus talks of it. The Scriptures talk of it. So we need to understand it. We need to break it down in a way we can comprehend this thing. Now, we can get into the debates. There have been people debate. Well, some believe that you're going to be entirely, perfectly sanctified and never sin again. Okay, if there are those people out there, I've never met those people. I've never heard anybody tell me that they are so sanctified that they never even have, they don't even have to struggle with sin anymore. So, I mean, maybe the thoughts are out there, but that's not what this means. Sanctification means to be separated for service. But here's what God put in my heart. If you're going to work on yourself, you need to be committed, have a commitment to cleansing. We've got too many Christians, they are not committed to cleansing. They're not committed to allowing the washing of the water of the Word to cleanse them, to sanctify them, to set them apart for service. How many know the picture there of something sanctified, set apart for service, is like a vessel that's used for honorable purposes. And it's shined up and sparkled up, and it's made to look its best and to be cleaned out, and then it's used in high honorable places. And so it's set apart for a purpose. So here's what God began to say to me. if you want to get past this thing of dissatisfaction with who you are and your life and your circumstances and your surroundings while you're waiting for me to do other work, be committed to my cleansing. Let me continually separate you from my service. And that means there are times in our lives we need to be cleansed by God's word and God's presence and God's fire. And that's sanctification. How many know if you go to royal homes, palaces, and you sit down to eat with them, they're going to bring out food and drink on royal dishes, gold, silver, fine china, crystal. They're going to bring it out and you're going to eat whatever the food is, whatever they're drinking. You're going to eat and you're going to drink. And guess what's going to happen to those vessels after you're finished eating? Did they just take them outside and discard them? Throw them away? You're not eating on paper plates. You're not eating on those. What are they going to do with them? Come on, let me break it down to our houses. We got Christmas coming. I don't know how it is in your house, but I know in my house. Now, we didn't get them down this year. But for 29 years, I don't, or 30, what, I don't know if it's 29 or 30 now since we've been celebrated 30. Anyway, this is the only year I can ever remember. We didn't get down the Christmas dishes. You know, those are the ones that are all fancy and they got designs on them, and you know, the glasses are even different than our normal glasses. Oh, okay, we're getting them down. So, all right, the record's intact now. Yeah, conviction just fell on my wife over there. She made a decision. That means I got to climb up in the attic and drag that big old heavy tub down again. But they're the fancy, right? Or if you got someone of importance coming over or some important, you're going to get down your best dishes. You're going to pull the good china out of the, right? Not going to get the little paper plates out and the plasticware. You're going to pull the good stuff out and you're going to sit and you're going to eat on it. And what are you going to do when it's finished? You're going to just throw it away out in the yard and say, well, it's useless now. You're going to wash it. You're going to cleanse it. And God just hit me with this concept of sanctification. That this is what the Lord wants to do with us, but we have to be committed to His cleansing. We've got too many Christians. They've been set apart for God's service. They've served God, but they've never subjected themselves to cleansing. They've served some purposes, but they've never taken time to go into the dishwater. Amen. Now, you think on that long enough, that's going to get real good to you. Because in times when patience is having its perfect work, you got to be committed to covenant when you're dissatisfied and you're dissatisfied with who you are. You ever been dissatisfied with who you are? Oh, I am. Almost all the time, it seems like. And so in those moments of dissatisfaction, then I have to remind myself, I'm committed to covenant because of what Christ has done. And I'm committed to cleansing. I am committed to the cleansing of the Lord. Listen, when you are sanctified, when you're set apart for purpose, listen, when you are sanctified, now every failure produces conviction. Every moment of usefulness produces a need for a new work of God in your life. And now you are committed. So here's another one we need to be committed to. I'll go there in a minute. So let's just stop right here. I don't want to get ahead of myself. You got to be committed to cleansing. So when you have been used, when you are using your talents and your gifts, and never stop taking time for the word to cleanse you, the presence of God to bring you back to a place of cleansing so God can separate you again and use you. Amen. Now, in my house, and again, I don't know how it is in your house, there are certain things that don't go in the dishwasher. I'm still trying to learn those 30 years later. Two things I can't get in my head: what things can be in the dishwasher and what has to be hand washed. And that one's out of laziness because I don't like hand washing dishes. And the second thing is where everything goes in our kitchen. Any men out there can say amen to that. My wife will say, you've lived in this house as long as I have, and you still don't know where those things go? Right? No, she usually doesn't say that. Usually I'm in the living room, and I hear doors opening, stuff being yanked out and put in its right place, and I think, uh-oh, I did it again. Right? Okay. But there are certain things that don't go. You don't just put them in the dishwasher. You hand wash them. You got to scrub on them a little bit. Right? They need to be really, really cleansed good. Let me tell you, God wants to hand wash us. He wants to spend time with us just because you know what? When you're used for His purposes, you'll pick up some residue that needs to be cleansed off of you. And if you don't subject yourself to His cleansing, you'll grow bitter. You'll let some stuff from that use stick around on you, and it'll cause you to have buildup in your life. And God says, you need to spend some time with me so I can cleanse you up. I can clean you up. I can get that off of you again. I can make you useful. But you've got to be committed to sanctification. You've got to be committed to cleansing, to being separated for. We got too many Christians. We're not committed to these things. We're not committed to covenant. It's just in one minute, out the next. We're up and down, in and out. We decide we love Jesus on Sunday, and by Tuesday, we decide we don't even believe in Jesus. We're not committed to covenant. And we're not committed to cleansing. This thing of sanctification, oh, don't talk to me about that. That's not what this is about. It's just about grace. No, it's about cleansing. You and I need to subject ourselves to continuous cleansing from the Lord. It's God's will that you should be set apart for service, and that you should avoid sexual immorality, that you should learn to control your own body. You need to be cleansed, and you need to continually put yourself in a place of cleansing. Third thing, you need to be committed to conviction. And that deals with holiness. Let's read on for a minute. He said, avoid sexual immorality. Verse 4, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that is, in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish him. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And so that means I need to be committed to holiness. And if I'm going to be committed to a holy life, I'm going to have to be committed to conviction. He doesn't say condemnation. I didn't say condemnation. I said conviction. Holiness is when we are committed to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, so that now when we fail, we feel conviction and we respond to it. We've got too many Christians that are not committed to conviction. They don't even want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it. Well, that's just my flesh nature. That's just who I am. That's it. God just knows that. No, you need to be committed to conviction, because the Holy Spirit convicts you for a reason. And that is in order to get you out of this dissatisfaction, in order to cause you to live the life that the covenant has brought to you. Amen? Why would we avoid conviction like the plague? We don't want to hear about it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't sit in churches where the preacher preaches about it. We would like to rip that part out of our Bible and just overlook that part. But God still convicts His people of wrongdoing, of things we need to learn from. And here's the thing. We sit around in our dissatisfaction because we're not committed to His conviction. I have learned to not be fearful of God's conviction, because it means He loves me enough to discipline me. He loves me enough to show me the areas I need to turn over to Him and the ways I need to live my life better. And I don't call that being judgmental, and I don't say, God, you're just being judgmental, or you're not, I'm not condemned. When the Holy Spirit convicts me, I can respond to it, because that's ways of coming out of my dissatisfaction. Amen? You know what conviction is for? It's to lead us to repentance. And repentance doesn't just mean saying sorry. It means turning 180 degrees around and going the other direction. Getting back on track. Getting back on the mark. We're not condemned. But we do receive conviction when we need to be instructed. That is being committed to conviction, is being committed to a life of holiness. The practice of discipline. Amen. Isn't this fun? This is fun tonight, isn't it? I mean, think about it. We talked about the covenant of grace. Now, that we can all shout about that one. And then we talked about sanctification. Are you kidding me? Committed to cleansing? What are you even talking about that for, Pastor? And my goodness, you're even mentioning holiness and conviction. What in the world is wrong with you? Because when we're dissatisfied with who we are, there are answers. And when God's preparing us for the things He has for us, the patience is having its perfect work in us, we need to be committed to these things so that we can be the people God wants us to be. We need to be committed to the practice of discipline. I'm not telling you to go out and judge everybody else. I'm not telling you to go out and... God didn't call you to go be the holiness police for everybody else. God called the Holy Spirit to be the holiness police for you. Amen. And you worry about you. You get the plank out of your own eye before you start going trying to pick the toothpick out of the other person's eye, right? That's the problem. In the past, sometimes when we talked about holiness, all we were doing was pointing out what everybody else was doing wrong. I'm not talking about that kind of holiness. That's called self-righteousness and Pharisaical mindsets. What I'm talking about is that commitment to holiness and that commitment to conviction, that when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with me about something, I'm going to listen and I'm going to learn to practice discipline. Amen? Are y'all still out there? Discipline is not a bad thing. Do you know, this hit me as I was preparing for this? Do you know people that are committed are never criticized by the world or by the church or by anybody unless they are believers? Think about it. People that are highly committed are never criticized by anyone unless they're a believer. You take someone that's committed to being a vegan. Oh, people might laugh at them or whatever, but they're not criticized for that. They're living their life in a way they choose to live. Someone that's committed to being healthy, they're not criticized for that and told, oh, you're just crazy. Someone that's committed to doing their best on their job, they're never told, oh, you've just gone too far. You're just way out there. But a believer that's committed to practicing discipline, the disciplines of prayer, the disciplines of reading the word, the disciplines of worship, the discipline of church attendance, the discipline of whatever it might be, of service for the Lord, the discipline of tithing, the discipline of giving. Oh, you're just way over the top now. No, I'm committed to a lifestyle. Don't be ashamed of that. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you about it, let Him deal with you. Open your life up. Be committed to conviction, to holiness, to the practice of discipline. It won't hurt you, I promise. It'll make you a better person. If we had more Christians disciplined in life, we would live more free and more happy, more joyful. We would produce more. And the last one, that I want to bring up real quickly, and then we're going to close. And we'll go back and connect some of these more together as we move along. But verse 8, he said, therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you His Holy Spirit. The last thing I want to say to you is you need to be committed to the charismata, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation, for it's God that's given. You need to be committed to the Holy Spirit, giving Him reign in your life, to use you, to opening yourself up to all that He has for you. You need to be committed to that. The Bible says desire the best gifts. Amen? So desire the Holy Spirit to use you. Be committed to being used by the Holy Spirit. If you're dissatisfied, commit to the covenant. Commit to cleansing. Commit to conviction. And commit to the Holy Spirit using you in the ways He desires. And you will find yourself walking out of dissatisfaction and into abundance and abounding. And while you're doing that, patience is having its perfect work. And you're no longer dissatisfied with the current situation. Now, you may still have to work on the apprehension of the future, because you still got to work on your relationship with God, but you're dealing with these things in your own life first. Amen. Get committed. I'm dissatisfied. Then commit to what God wants to do in your life. People will criticize you for it. They'll say you've gone too far. Oh, you're getting to be one of those Christian wackos. you're getting way out there now. I remember Veronica when she worked at Merrill Lynch, I think it was in Tulsa, and one of her bosses, he went to church. I don't remember where he went to church, but he would say to her, "You mean you go to church 3 times a week? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night?" You know, like, what in the world is wrong with you? Are you crazy? People will, if you're really committed to the cause of Christ, people will look at you strange. But let me tell you, you will abound in this life. You'll flee sexual immorality. You'll learn to possess your own vessel, your own body in a way that you can live upright and right before God. You'll live treating others the right way. But it starts with your commitment to all that God has. It's a part of patience working on you and working for you and producing through you. But when you're waiting, watching, worshiping, working, work on your dissatisfaction. Stand your feet with me tonight. Embrace conviction. Embrace cleansing. There are times you just need to get alone with God. You need to say, God, cleanse me. Purge me. Not just of sin, but just of all this stuff. You know, when you're working for the Lord, you can become very cynical. Amen? There are some of you sitting here that the homeless ministry that we've been a part of all these years, you can serve so long in those settings, you can become cynical. You can begin to see people, that person, they don't have to continue like, and you can grow cynical, but if you will continue to commit to cleansing and letting God cleanse you and wipe off the residue off of you and soap you up real good and cleanse you out real good again, then you can stay fresh in everything that you do. Amen? Ready to be used. Commit to it. Commit to the Holy Spirit using you in any way He chooses, and commit to the covenant. Because Christ has chosen you. and you'll be satisfied and content. Bow your heads and let's pray.